This is VK6ARN, News West. We are a community organisation and we've been serving up the best amateur radio news in Australia since 1931. Hi there, I'm Clinton, VK6FCRC, and welcome to News West for the 24th of September 2023. Now on with the show.
Saturday, 7th of October. Is the annual Waroona Agricultural Show. As people experience entertainment for young and old, animals, log chopping, sideshow alley, farm machinery, wine tasting, food and trade stalls, and a stunning fireworks finale. Peel Amateur Radio Group will be there again this year to demonstrate our hobby to the public from the PARG Mobile Communications Unit. Learn about Winlink, radio fox hunting, and see the capabilities of the PARG Mobile Communications trailer in action. We hope you can join us at the Waroona Show, Saturday, 7th of October, where you can experience a fun day out in the beautiful southwest of Western Australia.
Hi, I'm Steve, VK6SJ, with this week's episode of Did You Know? How many of us have the last two or three or more radios they've replaced still sitting in the shed gathering dust? The amount of photos I've seen of shacks the world over that have four or five radios neatly set up on shelves, either in a shack for use or just sitting in a shed or storeroom, is mind-boggling. Often the reason for keeping an old radio is that the value is so low that the nostalgia of that radio exceeds the amount you could get for it. In today's environment of $500 software-defined radios outperforming a conventionally designed radio purchased for $5,000 15 years ago, this is now often the case. So thinking about the nostalgia of an old radio that isn't worth selling, what if you gave or long-term loaned that radio to a new ham? You might be encouraging a young person in your neighbourhood who's asked you what that big mast is for, offering along with some assistance to your local high school as a STEM program, or just giving it to someone who's interested enough to do a foundation licence but doesn't yet have the required funds to purchase their first HF rig. Either way, seeing someone get the same joy you once did with an old radio, otherwise not being used, is a good way to relive the fun you had with that same rig. A long time ago, I was a beneficiary of an act like that. I'd sold my old CB to pay for a bus fare to Perth to sit my novice licence test. On arriving back, the president of the club I was in loaned me his converted CB, which I had a lot of fun with in the first year and so that I was on air. Other hams in the club also assisted me with stuff they weren't using. The result of that has resulted in a lifelong enjoyment of the hobby. Along those lines, why not get your local club interested in approaching your local schools and organisations like the Scouts and Girl Guides, etc., to not only run a session about ham radio, but donate some radios for the use once licensed. You might find an influx of new young members that might breathe a new lease of life to a club that might be getting a bit stale. The cost of this is a bunch of slightly older radios that would otherwise only be gathering dust in the shack. Sounds like a bargain to me. Another idea I wouldn't mind floating is that all the clubs in Perth get together and form a bank of older radios for this purpose. I'm not talking about boat anchors that only the most experienced hams will be able to get going. I'm thinking of radios that are 10 to 15 years old, but while not having HDMI ports and software-defined brick wall filters and the like, can still be connected to a PC and used on FT8, and are still in good working order. I know at Ham College we often get either bequeathed radios or asked by a Silent Keys family to assist in getting rid of old radios. I have to say, I personally often run a mile from those opportunities, mainly because we have a room of boat anchors and no room for any more. At Ham College we are getting well over 100 new hams on air each year, many of which could benefit from a donation of a radio. Maybe it's part of joining their local club. I'm sure Ham College could, and has done in the past, provide a plug for local clubs as part of the foundation course. And knowing a new member may be able to gain or be loaned their first radio would be a huge draw card. So, why not have this kind of conversation at your next club meeting? I think you'd be surprised at what a bunch of club members could put together as a bank of gear, and the ongoing benefits to the club of a bunch of new members. Stop leaving all those great rigs gathering dust and put them to use that will benefit yourself, your community, and the hobby in general. Thanks for listening again. This is Steve, VK6SJ, with another episode of Did You Know? If you'd like a text copy of this or other articles, That will be posted to my blog page at dxradiosystems.com.au about 2 weeks after it's gone to air.
Clear prop. This is Martin, VK6 Mike Juliet in Mandurah. PARG is taking to the air in more ways than one. The Sport Aircraft Builders Club of WA is hosting its 50th anniversary celebration and fly-in on the 29th of October at Serpentine Airfield. PARG will be providing public reception of the CTAF frequency of 119.1 MHz AM from our mobile communications trailer at the airfield, and we will be looking for inbound pilots possessing amateur radio licenses who would like to have aeronautical contacts on 146.5 MHz FM. If you are planning to fly into Serpentine for the event, how about connecting your aeroplane's headset into your VHF FM amateur radio rig? We will also be listening on 441.0 MHz FM in the UHF band for amateur automotive mobile check-ins. All communications will be broadcast over our public address system for members of the public to hear incoming aviation and amateur radio transmissions. This is a great opportunity for amateur radio to assist in a community event to demonstrate our hobby. For further details, please see current activities and events on the PARG website, which can be found at www.parg.org.au. This is VK6ARG on final approach for full stop at Serpentine. 7-3.
Good morning, this is Roy, VK6X-Ray Victor, with this week's Helpline, the 24th of September 2023. It's a long weekend this weekend. Hope you're enjoying the fine weather. We're having a little bit. Don't forget, it's double demerit points. Take it easy on the road. Looking for today, wanted. We're still looking for a Collins General Coverage Receiver. It's a model 51J4 General Coverage Receiver. If it needs a bit of love and attention, that's okay. Prefer a good working condition, of course, but happy to administer a bit of TLC. A VK6 Victor Zulu is looking for that. If you can contact him, if you have a Collins 51 Juliet number 4, his email address is sierra-tango-echo-victor-echo-victor-kilo-6-victor-zulu@tangopapagolf.com.au. That's Steve, VK6 Victor Zulu, at tpg.com.au. Next, we're looking for an analyzer for Mark. VK6 Bravo Sierra Alpha is looking for a antenna analyzer that covers from 100 kHz to 600 MHz, such as a Rig Expert and other brands, but not looking for a Nano VNA. So if you can help Mark with that, please contact him. His email address, victorkilo6bravosierraalpha@gmail.com. victorkilo6bravosierraalpha@gmail.com. And still have available a Kenwood Tango Sierra 450 Sierra HF transceiver available, excellent condition, asking only $700. That's a pretty good price. From Wayne, VK6 November Whiskey, he has a Kenwood TS450 Sierra, and he may be contacted on his electric telephone 0499-450-505, 0499-450-505. You can pick up that Kenwood TS450 for sale from Wayne. And we also have Daiwa controller and rotator, $350. There's a vacuum tube voltmeter, $50, from Barry, VK6 Alpha Delta India. His email address is bravo.juliet.burns@bigpond.com or phone 0428-959-771. 0428-959-771. And that's about all I have for you for today. And if you'd like to get in touch with me for anything next week, my email address is roy.watkins@bigpond.com. romeooscaryankee.watkins@bigpond.com. 7-3, until next week. Cheers for now.
In Western Australia and beyond, News West is available on air, online and on demand. Visit our website vk6.net to find out how. This is VK6 Amateur Radio News.
Foundations of Amateur Radio. As you might recall, I've been working towards using a cheap $20 RTL SDR dongle to measure the second and third harmonic of a handheld radio, in an attempt to discover how realistic that is as a solution when compared to using professional equipment like a Hewlett-Packard 8920A RF communications test set. I spent quite some time discussing how to protect the receiver against the transmitter output, and described a methodology to calculate just how much attenuation might be needed, and what level of power handling. With that information in hand, for reference I used two 30 dB attenuators, one capable of handling 10 watts and one capable of handling 2 watts. In case you're wondering, it's not the dummy load with variable attenuation that I was discussing recently. I ended up using a simple command line tool, RTL Power, something which I've discussed before. You can use it to measure power output between a set of frequencies. In my case, I measured for 5 seconds each, at the base frequency on the 2-meter band, on the second and on the third harmonic, and to be precise, I measured 100 kHz around the frequencies we're looking at. This generated a chunk of data. Specifically, I created just over 1,000 power readings every second for 15 seconds. I then put those numbers into a spreadsheet, averaged these, and then charted the results. The outcome was a chart with 3 lines, one for each test frequency range. As you'd expect, the line for the 2-meter frequency range showed a lovely peak at the center frequency. Similarly, there was a peak for the other two related frequencies. The measurement data showed that the power measurement for 146.5 MHz was nearly 7 dB. For 293 MHz, it was minus 44 dB. And for 439.5 MHz, it was minus 31 dB. If you've been paying attention, you'll notice that I use dB, not dBm or dBw in those numbers. More on that shortly. From a measurement perspective, we learnt that the second harmonic is 51 dB below the primary power output, and the third harmonic was about 38 dB below the primary power output. First observation to make is that these numbers are less than shown on the HP test set, where those numbers were 60 dB and 62 dB, respectively. Second observation, potentially more significant, is that pesky dB thing I skipped over earlier. If you recall, when someone says dB, they're referring to a ratio of something. When they refer to dBm, they're referring to a ratio in relation to 1 milliwatt. This means that when I say that the power reading was 7 dB, I'm saying that it's a ratio in relation to something, but I haven't specified the relationship. As I said, that's on purpose. Let me explain. When you use an RTL-SDR dongle to read power levels, you're essentially reading numbers from a chip that is converting voltages to numbers. In this case, the chip is an analog-to-digital converter, or an ADC. At no point has anyone defined what the number 128 means. It could mean 1 volt, or it could mean 1 millivolt, or 14.532 millivolts, or something completely different. In other words, we don't actually know the absolute value that we're measuring. We can only compare values. In this case, we can say that when we're measuring on the 2-meter band, we get a range of numbers that represent the voltage measured along those frequencies. When we then measure around the second harmonic, we are doing the same thing, possibly even using the same scale. So we know that if we get 128 back both times, we might assume the voltage is the same in both cases. We just don't actually know how much the voltage is. We could say that there's no difference between the two, or 0 dB, but we cannot say how high or how low the voltage is. This is another way of describing something I've discussed before. Calibration. So if I had a tool that could output a specific known RF power level and fed that into the receiver and measured, I could determine the relationship between my particular receiver and that particular power level. I could then measure at all three frequencies and determine if the numbers were actually the same for these three frequencies, which is what I've been assuming, but we don't actually know for sure right now. So at this point we need a known RF signal generator. The list of tools is growing. I've already used a nano VNA to calibrate my attenuators, and I've used an HP RF communications test set to compare notes with. At this point, you might realize that we're not yet able to make any specific observations about using a dongle to make harmonic measurements, but you can make pretty pictures. There's a good chance that you're becoming frustrated with this process, but I'd like to point out that at the beginning of this journey, I can tell you that I had no idea what the outcome might be, and obviously that's the nature of experimentation. If you have some ideas on how to explore further, feel free to get in touch. I'm Ono, Victor Kilo 6, Foxtrot Lima, Alpha Bravo, Lima.
Hi there, I'm Clinton, VK6FCIC, and I'd like to thank our News West team of volunteers and broadcasters each week, and those regularly submitting content each week. I'd also like to thank our readers, and you for listening. Please stand by now for callbacks after the ident, or if nobody is taking callbacks, please fill out the form on the VK6.net website so we know how many people are listening or reading News West each week.